Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There was once a great king who held a valuable treasure. Some kings hoard treasure. They watch it pile up in their royal coffers and hide it away sometimes in deep dungeons or dark caves, somewhere secret, somewhere safe. Walls are built and guards are hired to protect these treasures, to keep the treasure away from anybody who might want to steal it. The king in our story, though, is a good king, and he wants to share this treasure that he has with everyone he can. So this good king wrote a map that showed step by step how to get his treasure, a treasure map to immeasurable riches. If you haven't already guessed, this good king is King Jesus, and the treasure he wants to give isn't silver or gold, but an eternity of perfect paradise, far away from all the brokenness and hurt of this world. Jesus gives us a treasure map here in Luke 14, but the instructions on this map can sound pretty confusing. We just read these verses before the sermon hymn, and a few of those verses might have sounded pretty startling, didn't they? But before we look at this treasure map together, let's pray. Father God, thank you for these words of life. These are more than ordinary words, God. These are words that you have spoken, which means that they are living and powerful words that can grow our faith. Help us understand them this morning and draw us closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus was walking toward Jerusalem. Here in the Gospel of Luke. At this point in the story of Jesus' life, he had called his 12 disciples. He had been transfigured on the mountain. He had performed many public miracles and wonders. He had fed the 5,000 people. He had healed many, many people. He was making his way toward Jerusalem, where he knew that he would be betrayed, tortured, and executed. And he had attracted quite the crowd of interested followers. Jesus knew that some of these people around him wanted to follow him and become one of his disciples. So let's look at verse 25. It said, "Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.'" Hate is a strong word, isn't it? It's surprising that Jesus, of all people, would tell us that the first step on this great treasure hunt is to hate our family. But we know that there must be more going on with this instruction, because all over the rest of Scripture, we're told to love our family, to honor our parents, to even love our enemies and those who persecute us. In the original language, this word hate is talking more about actions than emotions. This isn't talking about how we feel towards our family, but Jesus is saying that as we follow this treasure map to eternal life, we can't choose family over our faith. We love our families. We take care of our families. We care about our families. Our family is who we are. This first requirement can turn our life upside down. Jesus is using strong words to tell us that we need to look at things differently. If we want to follow him, we are first and foremost a child of God, and we live like a child of God. We are first and foremost a member of the family of God, and we live like a member of the family of God. We can't choose family over our faith. Becoming a disciple of Jesus involves our entire lives. You can't come to Jesus and hold on to your old ways of doing things, your old ways of ordering your priorities, your old ways of constructing your sense of value and worth. Our identity should come from this family. Our decisions and actions come primarily from this spiritual family. Only when we have properly ordered this family can we be a good parent to our earthly children, or children to our earthly parents, or siblings to our earthly siblings? This command to hate includes our own lives as well. Again, Jesus isn't telling us to emotionally despise ourselves, but to recognize our true priority, our true purpose. The true center point and organizing principle of our lives is not us, it's not our family, it's God. When that truth is firmly planted, we can then have healthy relationships and live as we follow Christ on this journey to the treasure of eternal life. Look at verse 27. Jesus goes on. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Going after Jesus and following him means sharing what is his, even the painful rejection and persecution that he endured. Jesus said earlier, in this world you will have trouble. And Paul writes that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Followers of Jesus are no longer required to pay the consequences for our sins. Jesus took that away. But there are still worldly costs and pains involved with following this treasure map to eternal life. So these are the first two requirements of being a disciple of Jesus. The first two instructions on this roadmap to eternal life. And Jesus pauses here to give his people listening to him and to give us a few examples, a few stories to illustrate what he's talking about. Verse 28, Jesus said, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" The second story is similar. Verse 31. "Or what king," Jesus said, "is going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace." Being a follower of Jesus is not a small thing. Following this treasure map is not something you can simply pick up one day and forget the next. It's a costly and demanding decision. Martin Luther said that when someone believes in Jesus, they have made a lifelong enemy for themselves. Following Christ's treasure map should take careful consideration. You wouldn't go to Home Depot one day, decide to build a shed, and randomly pick out a few 2x4s, a few boxes of nails, and a random tool or two. That's not how construction works, is it? You need to sit down and figure out exactly what you need to finish the job. Otherwise, you'll have an embarrassing, half-finished project. And kings, Jesus says, don't go to war without doing their research. They sit down, don't they, with their advisors and consider not just how many soldiers they have, but how many their opponent has, how ready their troops are, and anything else that might give them an advantage or disadvantage before deciding to pursue war or sue for peace. The point of these two stories that Jesus tells us is this. Jesus didn't say the man shouldn't build his tower. And he said the man shouldn't necessarily avoid war. Jesus said he should think carefully before he begins. He should carefully consider every angle before he decides to commit. Jesus wants us to join this treasure hunt, but he also wants us to know that it isn't an easy road. Following Jesus is costly, and it isn't something you can do half-heartedly. But listen to the next thing Jesus said. Verse 33. "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." This roadmap to treasure is a costly and painful journey, but it's also a journey that you can't bring any of your own supplies on. your possessions are no good on this expedition toward eternal life. Your networking and your relationships and your social status won't help you get any closer to the king's treasure. If you tried to muster up your own strength and fill your hiking backpack with all of your best and favorite things, you'd end up no better than a half-constructed tower. Or a 20,000 to 10,000 military defeat. You don't have enough. So Jesus asks you to renounce all of it before you even begin. Treasure maps. A treasure map that a good king leaves us to show us the way to his immeasurable treasure. Jesus told us the way to the treasure. He told us exactly where to walk and how to step to follow this map. But there's something about this treasure map that I haven't told you yet. We have the map, but we can't follow it. We're not able to, no matter how hard we try and no matter how much we want to. We have the map, but we can't follow it. And that is where the story ends for a lot of people. They know of a great and priceless treasure. They hear someone tell them about a treasure map that leads them right to where they want to go, right to everything that they need, everything that they've been yearning and desiring for, but they can't follow the map. They aren't able to, so they give up, still wishing and longing for that perfect fulfillment and to be rescued from this broken world of sin. They build half-completed towers. They go to battle against far superior forces. But for us, the good king himself goes with us on this treasure hunt. He goes for us, walking the paths that we aren't able to walk and carrying us through the paths that we can't walk alone. He gives us his strength and his endurance and his supplies, everything that we need to follow this journey with Jesus. He fills our hearts with joy and courage. He fills our minds with the powerful truths of Scripture. He strengthens our hands and our feet to lovingly do what we are called to do. Those of us today who are believing in Jesus are on this journey to Christ's treasure of eternal life. We're walking this path with Jesus, and he continually supplies us with everything we need. Through baptism and daily repentance, we are made members of God's family. Through the Lord's Supper, we are forgiven and restored in our relationship with God. Through this word, we are every day refreshed and fed with the reminders of God's great promises. We are empowered to continue this often painful journey through our earthly lives, often filled with troubles, heartache, sickness, and even persecution. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. But what did he say next? But take heart, I have overcome the world. The way to eternal life is a life of perfect holiness, a life that isn't distracted with the cares of this world, a life that is willing to take abuse and scorn and maybe even death, a life that is wholly and completely focused on the goal of perfectly fulfilling God's high standard of what a perfect life looks like. We can't do that, but our good King can. And he offers to go with us on this treasure hunt, a journey to eternal life behind and alongside the one who won the treasure and wrote the map, walking with Jesus. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Amen.